all to see. You are light, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, the only reason that I sing. You are life, in me death has lost its sting.
Song, apart from one line, only because it just sort of goes halfway there. It says he will cover all your sin. He does a lot more than cover it. That's harking back to the mercy seat in the Old Testament. But he says in Jesus, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our iniquities from us. He doesn't cover it, he takes it away. Amen. He takes it away. And God says, I will remember your sins no more. He doesn't sort of cover them and have to look under the cover to remind himself of what we've done. He says, I remember them no more. When we repent and he forgives us, they are gone. No sin left, no guilt associated with that. He also says, I will remove the guilt of your sin. And that's one of the things we have to battle with, because when we have sinned and repented and he's forgiven us and we still feel guilt, that's the enemy. Because God said, I will remove the guilt of your sin. That's the good news, or it's certainly the beginning of the good news. We're going to look at some of that as we move on. Now, if God said to you, okay, you can have any adventure or journey or holiday or trip that you want, anything, you can have it. What is your dream trip, journey or holiday? What would you go back to God with? Here's the itinerary, God. What would it be? Nah. We'll each have our own. Here's mine. Look, this is real. I got it out of yesterday's Times. Cox and Kings, look them up. What a tourist agency they are. If they've been running holidays since 1758, I'm assuming they've been okay. The ultimate South America trip. Look at that itinerary. I couldn't get the other 5 days on because it's a 36-day tour covering 7 countries in South America, covering all of the amazing, amazing things there are on that. Well, not all of them, actually, barely scratching the surface, but enough of them to impress me. Now, look at that. Our chauffeur will collect you. How's that? That's a holiday. Linda's mum went on a holiday like that once. She was able to go and see her son in Australia, and she flew, you know, the class that's not standard class and not first class, the one in between, that one. She flew that one, and she wasn't expecting it, but Emirates sent a full chauffeur and the car and the flowers, but the flowers came at the end of the journey, to take her to the airport and then bring her back afterwards. I thought, that's a holiday. I like that. They do that. Anyway, that certainly would be, well, yeah, I love South America. That would be it, definitely. Now, I wouldn't like a surprise holiday. I wouldn't like anybody to say, hey, I bought you a holiday. It's a surprise. That would sort of take the joy out of it for me, because knowing where you're going, and it's part of the planning it and enjoying it. So I don't want a surprise holiday, but I do want a holiday that has surprises when I'm on it. You see, that's different. I want a holiday with surprises, but not a surprise holiday. Right. Can anybody notice the problem with that holiday? Has anybody noticed it? What might the problem be? Indeed. Yep. From 9,995 pounds per person. I can't afford that. I don't like from. That looks a bit open-ended to me. From. Wow. That's quite something. We have a price problem there. But it's still my dream holiday. I would still love to do it. What I would like to do, seeing as God asked me, by the way, I'd just like to tag Antarctica on there, because we're down the bottom end, because it does include bits of Patagonia and so on. So we'd just hop over to Antarctica. And by the way, I checked the Antarctica trips. That adds another £21,000 to the trip. Yes. So you're now up to 31 grand. If you really want to, when you're in Patagonia, you can add a walk on the biggest ice field in the world. Another 10 grand. And there are people do this. I sort of guess I'm not going to be one of them, but there are people have the privilege of being able to do stuff like that. Anyway, I'm going to read from Mark's Gospel. All will become clear. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began just as God had said in the book written by Isaiah the prophet. I am sending my messenger to get the way ready for you. In the desert, someone is shouting, get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him. So John the Baptist showed up in the desert and told everyone, repent, which means turn back to God, and then be baptized, and your sins will be forgiven. From all Judea and Jerusalem, people went to John. They told how sorry they were for their sins. In other words, they repented and were baptized in the Jordan River. So, I'm going to bring this forward. We might need this a little later. And I'm going to do it, hopefully, without pulling the keyboard off the stand. There we go. There's nothing like advanced preparation. And this is nothing like advanced preparation. Hang on. They wouldn't put up with this in an American megachurch, you know. It just wouldn't do. And we're there. It's okay. We're there. So, I'm back onto my journey. I'm thinking about what I might need on this journey. Well, you got to pay for it. That's first. Okay, you got to pay. But then, you got to pack your bags. It's 38 days or 36 days. You're going to be taking quite a bit of kit. So you got to pack your bags. And then, of course, you've got to answer the door when the chauffeur turns up. God, it's tough, isn't it? Got to answer the door when the chauffeur turns up. It's not too much to ask, really, once you've paid. And you can't start this journey without it. You got to pay. You really got to pack your bags. And you got to answer the door when the chauffeur calls. Here in Mark's gospel is the start of the good news of Jesus, the beginning of the good news. Now, it's the first Sunday in Lent today. You know that? First Sunday in Lent. Yeah. And lectionary reading for the first Sunday in Lent. There you go. I'm almost Anglican. And it starts as we prepare for Easter. We know the story, but it starts so we relive and are reminded what the good news is and why we're here. And so this is where Mark starts this story. Back to me holiday, because this really illustrates some of this good news very well. You see, the journey Mark's talking about is a journey that the Father has planned for us. He's prepared a journey for each one of us, with each one of us in his mind when he prepared that journey. Now, his journey is a bit different from the journeys the world thinks about, coming from a different perspective altogether. So let's look at what his journey would look like. First of all, it would be offered by the King of Kings, established eternally. Good news is, it's already paid for. It's done and dusted. Jesus sorted that out for us. Duration, a lot longer than 35 days. Starts now, never ends. Tailor-made, planned for you personally. Planned for you. When God thought of you and your journey, he was thinking about you and me and each one of us. It's a tailor-made personal journey. All the ways you can contact them, don't worry, God will contact you. You don't even have to go to that bother. He is knocking on your door. That's what it says. He's knocking on your door. He will contact you about this journey. And there's a lot more. There's certainly more than another 6 days on the journey that Mark is beginning in chapter 1. So you see, as everything else to do with God in the kingdom, compared to the world standards, this is totally upside down. Absolutely. It's a journey that is it's going to be full of surprises. There's going to be wonder. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. There's going to be everything you'd expect. It's all being paid for in advance. Now, when you open the door, you're expected on the world's journey to have your baggage packed. On this one, quite the reverse. Mark says, repent. And that's about unpacking baggage. That's what that's about. Unpacking baggage. So what we do on this journey is unpack our baggage and open the door. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking and I'm knocking. So this sort of begs a question, doesn't it? What baggage have we still got to unpack? And when we talk about sin or baggage, we're talking about anything that we know that gets in the way of our relationship with our Father in heaven, with Jesus. Anything that we know that is blocking or impeding the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Anything we know in our life that is hurting or damaging somebody else. All of these things are baggage. And the way to get rid of that baggage was John's first word, repent. Repent. Say sorry to God and sorry with action. Say, this baggage, I want to give over to you. I don't want this stuff in my life. The journey's been paid for. All the rest is sorted out. God has done the contacting. Bit more on that later. And the first thing he's saying is just give us your baggage. Say sorry. I've given you so much. You've ignored me in so many areas. You've crossed over so many lines that haven't been good for you. Say sorry. I'm here. Repent, says Mark in the first chapter of his gospel. And there might be many things, even as Christians, that we know we just need to. It's like having a spring clean, isn't it, really? To get rid of that stuff that you've stored it away, but you know you don't want it. But you can't quite somehow get yourself to throw it away. It's time to throw it away. It's time to unpack. It's time to open the door and say to Jesus, here I am, I've left the baggage up in the bedroom. Don't want it anymore. So, if during the next song, which is a prayer from Daniel chapter 9. If you know Daniel chapter 9, O Lord, the great and awesome God. And he prays for the circumstances. This is a prayer, and it's a prayer for repentance. So if, as we are, you needn't sing it, you probably don't know it, but you might have read it in Daniel 9. Let God speak. And if there's baggage you need to unpack, do it now.